Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's August 2018, and you're listening to episode 84 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On today's episode, I'm joined by Ellen Dykus, who is Women's Ministry Coordinator at Harvest USA. It's a national organization that exists to bring the truth and mercy of Jesus Christ to people affected by sexual struggles and sin. And they also equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. Back in 2014, Ellen wrote a feature article called Single in Christ and a Sexual Being. The Gospel Really Does Offer More Than Don't. And it's available free online at our website, equip.org. Ellen, it's good to have you on.
I really appreciate being back.
Well, there's a lot of different experiences that Christians who are single have based on their circumstances and life experiences, but I'd like you to actually tell us about your particular experience since you are single.
Yeah, well, I am 52 and I have not married. What I share with people is when I was younger, you know, 20s, especially my 20s, like I would have assumed that I probably would get married. And who knows, maybe I will get married one day, you know, because most people do. But, you know, now that I'm at this age and single, like I'm not surprised that I am. Like I've seen God's purposes in it. And, you know, my experience as a single has had its ups and downs of encouragement, joy, struggle, jealousy, discontentment. I mean, all of that. But I will say that for the most part, my experience of singleness has really been one of sensing his grace, not only to hopefully walk in a life of integrity for the most part, but to experience the joys that the single life does give for the sake of the kingdom and ministry.
Most of the time when people think of singleness in terms of the Christian church, they think of challenges, but you just mentioned you've had some joys. So what are some unique joys maybe and challenges that you faced because you're single?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just try to mention that broad strokes, but I think those joys and challenges have also been different from season to season or decade to decade. Like I remember, you know, being in my 30s, and on the same day I got emails, one from a friend that just got engaged and one from a friend that was just announcing her next pregnancy. And so, you know, and I'll add on to this too, Melanie, is that most of my adult life has been in vocational ministry. So like I've not had the same kind of markers that a lot of other people have had, like there'd be a variety of those. And so one of the challenges, like in that little story I told you, was I remember just, you know, getting that news from these two friends and just struggling with God and saying, God, what are you doing with me? Because I felt so other in my experience. And I would say that's probably been the majority, that realm has been probably the biggest challenge, is just feeling very different. Like I didn't fit in, like my story was just so different. But then, you know, some of the joys that my journey has given to me, and this does relate to my ministry because I've traveled a lot. I was overseas for a while, is I really have experienced that, that lack of distraction. You know, I think family is a beautiful gift, and But as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, that there's time and energy, rightly so, that needs to be given to a husband and children that I've not had. So that's been time and energy that I've been able to focus more on spiritual family and my ministry. So that's been one of the big joys. But, you know, to be honest, like even recently, is now I'm definitely officially full throttle into middle age, is there's been a real joy in just continuing to grow and being like a spiritual mother or an older sister in the faith to others. that like I'm experiencing some of that blessing that comes after, just as we get older, I think, and sensing that you've got more to offer to others. And so, you know, married women have that as well, but there's been a sweetness for me of seeing, yeah, Lord, you've carried me, you've provided for me. And now I feel like I've got even more that I can give back out. And that's, not only is it joyful, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I think the stereotype that people have in the Christian church about singleness is that it's not a good thing. In other words, God's highest and best is for Christians to be married. But how does the Bible address singleness and specifically this topic of our conversation, singleness and sexuality? And does it say anything more than don't do this or don't do that in that area of our life? And how is it really not saying that marriage is the highest and best, you know, state for all Christians?
Yeah, well, yeah, and you know, you said it right. I mean, marriage is a blessing. Marriage is a gift. But, you know, I think the Christian leader and author that's probably impacted me the most on this very question is John Piper. And he wrote an amazing essay. It was really based on a sermon that is also in his book on marriage. And it's called, I think it's called Single in Christ, A Name Better Than Sons or Daughters. And it really, it's the best biblical theology about singleness that I've read that is so graspable. And what he's doing, Melanie, is really unpacking what Scripture does say is that, you know, the eternal realities are that we will all be brothers and sisters and married to one groom, Jesus Christ, that human marriage won't exist in heaven. And so we all, in a sense, are living out our earthly life in preparation for what is to come into eternity. And so I can just imagine someone listening to this and saying, oh, come on, Ellen, bring this down to street level. But we've got to understand the eternal reality that we're all heading to understand our earthly human experience right now. So as a single woman, no, I don't have a husband to share life with or to have a sexual relationship with. I don't have biological children. At this point, I've not chosen to adopt children. But, and here's the beauty, I think, of Christian singleness or being single in Christ is like, I'm not limited one bit in participating in the kingdom realities, which is one of spiritual sons and daughters, of being spiritual mothers and fathers. And so again, I'm just assuming somebody's maybe listening to this and saying, yeah, yeah, Ellen, that sounds great. But the reality is I want to have sex and I can't have it because I'm single. Well, that is a hard, difficult reality that, yeah, those who are unmarried, we don't have a context with which to share ourselves and receive sexual love with another person. But once again, I think having that long view, eternal perspective is so important. Like Paul says in Colossians 3:1-2, to set our hearts and minds on things above, is that is Jesus big enough to give me what I need to resist temptation, to live a life of integrity, to live as with few regrets as possible when it comes to sexuality. And he absolutely is. And so, yeah, I mean, I could talk for hours on that one question alone, but I'll just kind of leave it at that. And I will mention that I do have a mini booklet I wrote called Sex and the Single Girl, Smart Ways to Care for Your Heart. That would be probably particularly helpful for single women, but I think there'd be a lot of principles in there that would relate to single men as well, where I talk about some of these same things.
So your article in the title, it says Single in Christ and a Sexual Being. So can you unpack that for us? What does that mean to be single in Christ and have a sexuality?
Yeah, well, the single in Christ, I think, is hopefully mostly intuitive that, you know, my main identity is being a Christ follower and being in him. And I happen to be unmarried. I happen to be single. So that's the single in Christ part. You know, the idea of being a sexual being is just that, you know, our sexuality is a part of who we are as human beings, even as who we are as image bearers of God. Our sexuality is not the most important thing about us. And it's not, even though this is what the world around us often preaches, it's not our identity. Like, my identity isn't what I do or don't do sexually or who I am or am not attracted to. My identity is in Christ. But the reality is, I do have a sexuality, and I have a body that can have sexual desire or become sexually aroused. And so being single in Christ and a sexual being is really just weaving all that together, that my identity is in Him, and I'm living this out in my body on earth.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Ellen Dykus, who back in 2014, she wrote a feature article called Single in Christ and a Sexual Being, The Gospel Really Does Offer More Than Don't. And it's available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more articles on biblical sexuality, like the upcoming feature article on solo sex and the Christian, please subscribe to the journal. A six-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe, please visit our website, equip.org. I want to ask you a little bit about just kind of if people are, you know, in our culture right now, there's a lot of, you know, awareness of LGBTQ kind of issues. And as it relates to the church, there's a lot of talk right now about being a celibate Christian, and that's mostly referencing people who say, well, I have same-sex attraction, and therefore I need to be celibate. So can you explain to us your understanding of the whole idea of celibacy?
Yeah, and I think it was Lauren Winner's book, which I'm not remembering the whole title, but Lauren Winner wrote a book on sexuality, and she talked about celibacy really as faithfulness. Celibacy isn't a word that we hear a whole lot, but I think it's had this idea of something antiquated, but really celibacy is about faithfulness as people, and maybe we could say specifically being sexually faithful. And so again, like, that's true for me as a single woman, and it's true for anyone who's married, that God is calling us to a life of faithfulness through love and obedience to Christ. So for me, that means, and really this, and I think let me answer that and I'll come back to the same sex issue, is so I'm, my life of faithfulness is to be celibate, or not engaging in sexual activity with self, a screen, or with another person. But similarly, married people are also called to faithfulness to Christ and their spouse, that their thoughts, bodies, emotions are faithful to that one spouse. And so, yeah, you mentioned this, that oftentimes I think within the discussion about those that are wrestling with same-sex attraction, there's the idea of, well, I guess, you know, I'll just be a celibate Christian for the rest of my life. And that life of faithfulness could be one of not getting married, or it could be a life of faithfulness to the one person that God might awaken their desires and attractions to, somebody of the opposite gender. So, so I think, you know, celibacy, a great way to look at it is just that it's a life of being faithful in your current life state.
I think listeners, though, might still have that question, that, you know, the idea of celibacy as a life without sex. And so is that a curse for them, or is it more of a calling for Christians?
Yeah, well, I think it definitely feels like a curse for a lot of people. And so, you know, for those that might feel that, compassion and, you know, tenderness, I think the Lord has for those, just as He Himself lived as a single man on this earth, that He's compassionate towards you in the struggle of this, in the battle to remain faithful. Is it a lifelong calling or struggle? Well, you know, I don't think any of us will ever know that until the day we die. You know, has God called me to be single for the rest of my life? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'll know that until I'm really at my deathbed. And this is where I would say, Melanie, and some people may push back on me on this, but you know, I think those brothers and sisters in Christ in particular who maybe have wrestled with homosexual temptation, maybe have been involved in relationships and are seeking now to walk in faithfulness, is there could be that sense of, you know what, I'm just resigning myself to that I'm going to be alone the rest of my life, or that I'll never be able to have a relationship like this. And you know what? Maybe in God's sovereignty that will be true, but I just think that God is so big that even with somebody that would say they've never had any kind of attraction to someone of the opposite gender, is it in the realm of possibility that our God, who raised Jesus from the dead, could he awaken your heart to be attracted to the one person that he's calling you to marry? And, you know, my answer to that is he absolutely can do that. Will he do that? That remains to be seen. And so, again, some may push back on that, but I hope that for many others, it gives hope that God is going to give you what you need. And if he has marriage for you, just as if he has marriage for me, he's going to bring that about. That God is not one bit limited by our attractions and desires. So, you know, like celibacy or singleness, if that's where you are, then that's where God has us today. And he's calling us to trust him today and to trust him for the future.
In your article for us, you have a section that talks about having a path of sexual integrity that's one of both suffering and sanctification. So can you unpack that for us? What is having sexual integrity that has both of those two aspects to it?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we don't always see that temptation is a form of suffering. It's resisting the enticement towards sin. It's resisting giving way to desires that would lead to disobedience. And that is a form of suffering. It's a trial that God has given us that God allows. It is just a part of living in this world. So that would be the suffering piece. And, you know, the sanctification piece is that, you know, our journey here on earth is one of hopefully becoming transformed more and more into Christ likeness, of becoming more and more living out that holiness that God has given to us in Christ. And so, you know, when we are battling against temptation, when we are seeking to die to self rather than pursuing what's going to make us feel good today, when we do that in honoring Christ and in obedience to him, that is a part of the process that I think God uses to sanctify us, to make us more and more like his son.
So how can especially people in the church, you know, encourage singles? I think a lot of singles feel, at least, you know, friends that I have that are single, that the church doesn't understand their particular struggles, especially in light of just how sexualized our culture is, and that, you know, so many people are just, you know, practicing, fulfilling their sexuality if they're single. And how can, you know, married people in the church and the church leadership encourage singles in a way that is not just, you know, patronizing or just giving them like, you know, little platitudes spiritually, you know, oh, well, God is sovereign or something like that. Like, how can they encourage people to be part of the life of the church? Because it seems like a church, so many ministries or opportunities revolve around the family, you know, reaching out to moms or, you know, seminars for parents. So how can churches really incorporate singles and encourage them?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually first want to answer that by speaking to singles who, like myself, are in the church and maybe have felt that way. And, you know, I'm thankful to be a part of a church community where I really feel woven in. But I will say that, like, I've sought to take those steps to be woven into the church community. And so I much prefer that other people initiate towards me. But I've needed to take those steps out. So that's one thing I want to just, in a sense, encourage any of my single brothers and sisters that are listening to this is God's given you the ability to also reach out and to get involved and even to make a difference in some of these areas where you might feel like your church just is blind to the reality of singles. So that's my first thing. But then for churches is a couple thoughts come to mind. One is just recognizing the different experiences of singleness that there are. That for me, being where I'm at in life, like I have a really different experience right now than say the 22-year-old who is single. A woman who is single through divorce, or the man who is single because his wife has passed away, those are all really different experiences. And it seems really obvious, but oftentimes I think churches have just had a kind of a lump everyone together. And so you need to know that each person, just like every married couple, they have their own unique story. So an awareness of that. And then really the second thing, Melanie, that I would say is preach, teach, disciple, and model the reality of spiritual family. Nuclear families are important, absolutely. But again, the eternal reality is that we're going to live together as sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters to each other. And the churches I've seen that are the healthiest and the most relationally fruitful in this very question that you're asking me are the ones that really have a strong understanding in their DNA of being brothers and sisters in Christ. That our most important connecting point isn't being around the same age or having the same amount of children or that, but while those are all important or have their place, the most important thing is who we are to each other in Christ. And that really does spill out into practical ways, in amazing ways.
You talked about people being in different phases that are singles, you know, whether they're widowed or divorced or maybe even younger, you know, teenagers and 20-somethings. Is there something that you can give practical words of wisdom, especially for those younger people who feel like, okay, what can I do? What can I not do? Are there certain lines I shouldn't cross to be sexually, quote unquote, pure or whatever? Are there specific things you can encourage, especially younger singles, about where it seems to them everybody is involved in sexual activity?
That is a great question. You know, I think, well, first I would encourage you to read the article that I wrote, you know, which is posted online, as Melanie has mentioned. But I think some other things, again, that might seem too obvious, but hear me out. The first is, you know, keep growing and being intentional about your own relationship with Christ, because that's going to be the foundation for a healthy, fulfilling marriage if God's going to lead you into that. Grow and keep Christ as your priority. Secondly is be very wise about who you're spending time with and about who you're allowing to influence you. So no, you don't have to stay home every Friday and Saturday night and just read your Bible to avoid, you know, being with people, you know, all people, but be really wise. Be willing to be the oddball out. Be willing to miss out on that gathering if you know that there's going to be temptations for you, or if there's going to be something that's going to be questionable or something that could just be tempting for you and even in your emotions. Like I remember in my 20s, especially, just having to be really careful about how much of these romantic love songs I was listening to that was nothing like the sexual stuff that you're hearing on the radio today. But my emotions and my desires would get so stirred up, and that would really bear out in a lot of discontentment and even just like, you know, self-loathing almost of what's wrong with me. So I think being aware of influences that are going to distract you and even they're going to water discontentment in you. And then, you know, the last thing I want to share about that is be super wise about who you're willing to date. You don't want to open up yourself to somebody that's going to push the boundaries or somebody that has really low standards, even in the area of how they treat the opposite sex, much less how they go about physical affection. And, you know, and the last thing, and this kind of relates to what I said about be careful about who you surround yourself with is, you know what, take the time and make it a priority to really cultivate good friendships. Like, I am so grateful that that's been something that God has allowed me to have, is really rich friendships, mostly with women, but also with couples. That's been so helpful to me in my own life as a single woman. And that includes sexual integrity, because oftentimes sexual sin is just a replacement, or it's a replacement for other types of relationships that God would have us to have. Or sexual sin is a way to kind of medicate our lonely hearts. And so I think the cultivate friendships with people that, again, are going to not only be just good companions, but are also going to be spiritual encouragers to you.
Are there any other practical tips you could give our listeners, or steps that they could take to pursue sexual integrity in addition to the ones you've just mentioned?
Well, I guess, yeah. The only thing I would add into addition to what I just mentioned is, and really this is true for anyone single or married, but that we all need people in our lives who, as you know, Pastor Tim Keller says, who have a hunting license. Or as a friend of mine said, Ellen, you have meddling rights. You know, we often call this accountability. Like, who can be the people that we are really going to allow ourselves to be known by? And not for the sake of just calling us out on sin, but people who can encourage us, people who can cheer us on. But we do need people knowing our weak spots, our temptation points, people that we're willing to out ourselves and say, you know what, I went to some bad places online, or you know what, my heart is really going towards this person, and I need you to just help me with that, especially if that's somebody that is unavailable. So that would be the other part of having good friends, is having people in your life that are going to really know you and encourage you in Christ.
And what advice could you give, especially I'm thinking of single women, Christian women, who just feel like they're just biding their time. They're just waiting and hoping and waiting and hoping, especially, but they started out in their 20s and now they're in their 30s. How do they move past just wondering, oh, is this the guy, or just waiting around and not really fully engaging in their, you know, in their church's life or something like that? How would you encourage those ladies?
Well, I would offer both compassion and challenge. You know, the compassion and comfort is, I know it is hard, especially if you have had a long time desire to be married, a long time desire perhaps to have children. The Lord knows you in that, and He wants to offer comfort for you. But then the challenge of that is, don't see yourself in a holding pattern. Like, you've got today and the season right in front of you. I would just challenge you in a sense to go for it with your life. Like, I've met a lot of people, single and married, who get older and they're just filled with regrets because they kind of live the way you just described. And this could be a married person as well saying, you know, I just thought when my kids got out of grade school, when my kids got out of high school, when my kids got out of college, that I would fill in the blank. And, you know, Christ wants us to love and serve Him today, to walk in the light given for today. And that's what I would encourage single women as well. Don't do that. You don't have to do that in a way that is, you know, obviously fake or anything like that. I'm talking about being gut raw honest. But sisters and brothers, let's go for it in the light given for today, trusting that Christ is going to give us comfort as well when it's hard and when it feels lonely.
Well, thanks for these good words and encouraging words for people who are single in the church. And so finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Ellen. So it's the summer, Ellen, smoothies or frozen yogurt?
Froyo.
And books or movies?
Movies. Well, split down the middle, but in my downtime, movies.
Okay. Fiction or nonfiction if you're going to pick a book?
Nonfiction.
And it's summer, so what would you do on your ideal vacation if money was no object?
Probably go to the mountains or go visit my sister and her family overseas.
Oh, where does your sister live overseas?
Jordan.
Wow, that's sounds like a very exotic place. Well, thanks. It is exotic. It's the Middle East.
Yes.
Thanks, Ellen, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Yeah, so fun to be here. Thanks for being willing to talk about these topics as well.
Today's guest is Ellen Dykus, who back in 2014 wrote a feature article called Single in Christ and a Sexual Being. The gospel really does offer more than don't. And it's available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more articles on biblical sexuality, like our upcoming feature article on solo sex and the Christian, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, please visit our website, equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes. And when you rate and review our podcast, it helps others to find our content. So please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged. It's Hank's new audio podcast. You'll follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.